Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Metzora. Begins on page 620. I will be starting from the beginning. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimar, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Zois tia teras ha-metzora b'yayim taharasai. This will be the law of the person, the Metzora, the person stricken with Saras. That's the leprosy-like disease we've been discussing from last week. This is the law of the Metzora b'yayim taharasai, on the day that he becomes pure. Behuva al ha-kohen shall be brought to the Kohen. V'yatzah ha-kohen ha-machutz la-machane. The Kohen will then go out. We'll go out to outside of the camp, which is where the Metzora is. He's sent outside of the camp. He's sent away from everyone. V'ra'ah ha-kohen, the Kohen shall see. V'hine nirpa nega ha-tzaras v'na-tzarua, and behold, the affliction of Tzaras has been healed from the person who was stricken with it. Tzaras were these, let's say the example of white spots, that's one type of Tzaras. And it had been determined that he for sure had Tzaras. He's been sent out of the camp. And now, basically the Kohen comes back to check, or the Kohen finds out, or hears that the Nega is gone, and he comes back to check, and he says, and he looks, and he sees, lo and behold, the spots are gone. And once he sees the spots are gone, then the pasuk says, "Vatziva ha-koyen," the koyen then commands, and they go through the whole process of purification of the Metzora. Okay, so the first thing I want to start with is the it's a question that the Kli Yakar asks. And really it's a question that all the commentaries are dealing with. The Ramban deals with it. But this is the question. This is the question that we start with. Let me just get the pasuk here. Okay. We'll start off with two questions. When we read pasuk Beis, verse 2, and it says that this will be the law of the Metzora on the day of his purification. Right? This is the law of the person with Saras on the day of his purification. If it's the day of his purification, then why is he called a Metzora? We're calling it the day that he becomes pure. If it's the day he becomes pure, so then why are we calling him a Metzora? He's not a Metzora.
But he is until they do it.
But it's called the day of his purity, so then it's not the day of his purity. Is it the day that he is pure or not?
Not yet.
The end of the day.
So then it then don't call it the day of his purity. Don't call it the day of his purity then. This is a question that needs to be asked when you just read the words, looking at the words itself. The words itself, when you read the words, it comes across kind of funny that we call him Metzora, I mean, we're calling him still stricken, but you're telling me it's the day that he becomes purified. So the Ramban really deals with this question. The Ramban says what it means is, B'yayim tahara say, the day of his purification really means the day that he wants to become purified. The day that he wants to go through the process of purification. And on that day, as you said, even if the spots went away, he's still a Metzora because the Kohen has to check him, and he has to go through the whole process. So therefore, but you see the Ramban also was kind of troubled by this, right, where he says, B'yayim tarasai means the day that he wants to make himself pure. Okay? So that's a basic point. But then comes a stronger question. And that is, the pasuk at the end says, V'huva el ha-kohen. This is the law of the Metzora, the day of its purification. V'huva el ha-kohen, he shall be brought to the Kohen. That implies, who goes to who?
He goes to the Kohen.
But then the next pasuk reads, V'yatza ha-kohen al-mechutz la-machana. And the Kohen goes out to the outside of the camp. That means he's going to him. So who's going to who? Is the Kohen going to the Kohen? Or is the Kohen going to the Metzora?
Well, he can't go up to the Kohen. He can't come back to the camp until.
So why does it say? Then why does it say? Vehuvel haKohen. Okay. So now that's the question. So the Ramban also deals with this, and the Ramban actually says there is no question that the Kohen has to go out to him. He can't leave where he is, the Metzora. So the Kohen has to go out to him. But V'huvel ha-Kohen is meant to say, the Ramban has two explanations. V'huvel ha-Kohen and he will be brought to the Kohen means he's got to see the Kohen if he wants to become Tahar. It's a way of saying you can't become pure without being by the Kohen. So Vahuva Kohen should be brought to the Kohen means if he wants to have the purification that he seeks, Vahuva Kohen, he must be brought to the Kohen. He must be brought. He has to appear before the Kohen. Practically speaking, how is he going to appear before the Kohen? The Kohen is going to come to him. But the Pasuk is trying to impress that if he wants to become pure, he must be seen by the Kohen. So the wording isn't meant to say that he actually is going to physically go over to the Kohen, but that he's got to be brought to the Kohen means he's got to be before the Kohen in order to be purified. Another explanation that he gives based on the Mechilta is that when the person who had saras and had the white spots sees the white spots went away, then he has to immediately contact the Kohen. There's no waiting around.
How?
He sends someone. It's not like no one's ever in contact with him. It's not like no one ever sees him. I'm sure his family comes by to see how he's doing. And therefore, he goes ahead and he lets the Kohen know. But he's got to let the Kohen know right away. There's no dallying. So v'huva kayin, and he shall be brought to the kayin. That imperative means if it's the day that he wants to become pure because the spots have gone away, v'huva kayin, he's got to be brought to the kayin right away. Practically speaking, it's the kayin going to come to him. But the point of the v'huva, he shall be brought, is again showing an imperative of being by the kayin. Either the first explanation is it's the imperative of being by the kayin because without the kayin, nothing's going to happen. Or the imperative to come to the Kohen means to impress, it's got to be immediate. That's how the Ramban learns. Now, the Kli Yakar gives an interpretation, more in a Drish Hamiletical interpretation, but this is how he says it. He says that this Pasuk, is when it talks about the law of the Metzah and the day of his purity, is not talking about this part of the Pasuk of his purity, is not talking about the process we're going to be mentioning later on. That's not what it's talking about. But as we have been discussing, and we mentioned many times before, a person stricken with saras is not stricken with saras because some kind of bacteria attacked his skin. It is a result of sins. It's a result of speaking lashon hara. It's a result of another explanation given is it's a result of arrogance, of haughtiness. The Gemara mentions a number of possible sins that could bring saras. So if this person has been stricken with saras, as we learned when we read the Rambam last week, that all these things are meant to be messages to him that he should repent. So the law of the Metzara and the day of his Tahara means that when this person who has been stricken with saras finally gets the message and he wants to repent and he resolves to repent and to rectify the sin that brought this saras upon him, that's the day of his purification. When he resolves to change, that's the day of his purification. It's a spiritual purification. And when that happens, v'huva el ha-kayin, he's got to be brought to the kayin means to get this spiritual purification, to be able to repent, he's got to appear before the kayin. Not because the kayin is going to go ahead and just look at his spots, but the kayin is going to teach him how he has to make sure not to speak Lashon Hara again. The Kohen is going to teach him not to be arrogant. The Kohen is going to teach him because the Kohen is the descendant of Aaron. And we know that Aaron was a person who loved peace and pursued peace and never caused strife. On the contrary, he tried bringing peace between people. The being brought to the Kohen here is not just about what the next Pasuk says the Kohen is going to be seeing, is going to see if the spots are gone or not. It's rather the Kohen who, in the times of the Torah and for years afterwards, the main teachers of Torah for the Jewish people for many years were the Kohanim. The Kohanim spent X amount of time in the Beis HaMikdash, and after that, they were the main teachers of the Jewish people. So, v'huva el ha-kohen in this pasuk means that when a person resolves to do tshuva for the sins that brought the tzaras, and that's the day of his purification when he resolves to do tshuva, v'huva el ha-kohen, he's got to be brought to the Kohen. That resolve to rectify has to be a resolve that he will go to the Kohen and learn from the Kohen how to go ahead and rectify what he did wrong. He's going to go study Torah under the Kohen. And the v'huva, and he shall be brought, which sounds like he's being forced, he's being brought, is a way of saying that, you know, if he would have gone to the Kayin right away, in the sense of if before he spoke Lashon Hara, he'd go to a Kayin, he'd learn Torah, and he'd get the influence of a Kayin, he never would have gotten himself into this problem. But now that he didn't go on his own to study by the Kayin, now he'll be brought to the Kayin. Now he's got to go to the Kayin, because otherwise he's not going to get rectified. But according to the Kli Yakar, this part of the Pasek is not talking about the actual purification that's described later on. But it's talking about when the person who has tzaras, when he resolves to rectify the sins that brought this upon him, when he's ready to do that, when he resolves to do that, he commits to do that, that's the day of his purification, the day that he resolves to do tshuva, and in that resolve there has to be that he will be brought to the Kayin. He will go to the Kayin and learn from the Kayin how he has to make sure to rectify the sins that he did wrong. Okay, that's how the Kli Yakar, the Kli Yakar says lies also in this pasuk. Okay, so then the Torah goes, and the Torah describes, the process that he goes through to be pure, to purify himself. And on page 622, Pasuk Yud Beis, 623, verse 12. Okay. So there are a number of animals that this person who wants to purify himself from tzaras has to bring. And the pasuk says, V'lokach ha-koyin ha-sakeveso echad. The koyin will take one of the sheep that he has brought to the Beit, to the Mishkan. V'kriv oisai la-asham v'sleik ha-shamen. This animal will be brought as a carbon asham. Carbon asham we translate as a guilt offering. That's how we translate it. But, and there are specific things that an usham is brought for. If you do a sin unintentionally, right? You do a sin unintentionally. You bring a chatas. Okay? Typically, if you do a sin intentionally, very often, there won't be a carbon for it. But then a carbon usham comes for different situations. And one of the things a carbon usham comes for is a person who had tzaras, and the tzaras went away, and now he has to purify himself. He's got to bring a guilt offering. Now, what's he guilty of? What kind of guilt does he have here? The answer is not Lashon Hara, according to the Sefornu. The Sefornu says that the reason why a person who has tzaras has to bring a carbon usham is because an usham also comes for what's called me'ila behektish. Me'ila behektish means if something has been sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, whether it be an object, whether it be an animal for a sacrifice,
money, you cannot
use it for yourself. Once it's been sanctified, it's forbidden for you to use. And in a situation where you unintentionally used it, you got to bring a carbon asham, a guilt offering. Now, in this case, there is no unintentional anything that's involved. But the point is, though, that even though you only bring a carbon asham for using, benefiting from hektish when you did it unintentionally, but at the same time, any time that you use hektish, it's called usham. You're guilty of, so to speak, trespassing. This was the domain of hektish. This is, so to speak, a special domain of God, and you cannot have personal benefit here. And when you trespass that, that's called me'ila. That's called me'ila. When you go ahead and you use it for yourself. Now, whether this act of me'ila will necessitate, obligate a sacrifice or not, that has its details. But there is the term of me'ila is a term that means that you have used, you basically have trespassed upon the domain of the Beis HaMikdash. You've trespassed on a domain that is uniquely designated to God. And your personal things, personal usage and benefit is not appropriate here. Says the Sefornu that there are two sins that we know bring tzaras upon a person. They are Lashon Hara, right? Speaking Lashon Hara, speaking derogatorily about someone, and Gaiva, which means arrogance, haughtiness. So the Sefornu says, when you speak Lashon Hara, speaking Lashon Hara is tantamount to Me'ila B'Hektish. It's tantamount to trespassing into the domain of Hektish. Why? The way he explains it is because typically when you speak Lashon Hara, it's private, it's quiet. Most people don't publicly speak Lashon Hara. They speak amongst each other. It's more of a private thing. And anytime you do a sin in private, what are you basically saying to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? You're not here.
You're not invited.
You're not here. Because very often, when you wouldn't do something in public, but you do it in private, that's saying that, oh, people are going to see me. I don't want them to see me doing it. And what about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? What about him? And therefore, the Gemara says, he brings down the Gemara, Ha'oiver Avera B'Seser, Kilu Doichek Ragli Hashchina. When you commit a sin privately, it's like you're pushing away the feet of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, to a certain degree, Hashem's presence is everywhere. And if you sin secretly, meaning, and you don't care about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's like you're saying, he's not here. That means you're saying that what should be the domain of Hashem is not. That's tantamount to Me'ilah. That's tantamount to trespassing on what is sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, speaking of Lashon Hara, has a aspect of Me'ilah. Arrogance, haughtiness, also is an aspect of Me'ilah. Why? Because grandeur, right, doesn't belong to you or to me, belongs to Hashem. Hashem says that when a person is arrogant, right, he has gavi, has geyus, what do we say in Oz Yasher? Ashir l'Hashem ki ga'oi ga'a, right? The word gavi, the word geya, this word of haughtiness or grandeur, we apply that to Hashem. And Hashem says, basically, if you start acting in a way of grandeur for yourself, you're wearing my cloak. You're taking away what belongs to me. So that's also a certain aspect of Me'ilah. And because the sins that bring upon a person, Saras, have this aspect of trespassing on the domain of Hashem's divine presence, therefore, you bring a carbon Hashem. Therefore, a Metzayra needs a carbon Hashem for the purpose of his purification. Now, I saw brought down in a sefer from the commentary of a called Akedas Yitzchak that he has another explanation as to why when a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's considered Me'ila B'Hektash. It's like using something from the Beis HaMikdash. And he explains it with the following mashal, the following parable. A king had a number of servants. And the servants, you know, all did their work. Some did their work better. Some did their work not as good. And there was one servant that the king noticed was super diligent. He did his work in the best way that he could possible. And he produced a great part. Whatever he did great. And the king decided to reward him. What did he reward him with? He rewarded him with a special royal uniform that's meant to be worn when you're invited to special occasions by the king. And that's what this servant was given. He was given this royal uniform, which meant that he would have the opportunity to attend special events given by the king, and that's when he would wear the uniform. The problem is, this servant was a very simple peasant. He had no idea, you know, what the rules were. And he figured, you know, the king gave him this garment. It was good, it was sturdy, better than all the other stuff that he had. And he did all his work wearing it. All the work that he did, he wore it until he started wearing it out and ruining it. And the king found out, and he called him and he said, "Do you realize what you did? Do you realize that by ruining this royal garment, you've basically shown disrespect to the king? This royal garment shows your utmost dedication to the king. And now that you've worn it out, shows that it's not important to you. You don't care." Says Akedas Yitzchak that there's something very, very unique and special that Hashem has given us to serve him with. Something most important over anything that we have from him when it comes to our serving him. And that is our power of speech. Our power of speech, our expression of our neshama, of our soul, that is the most important gift that we've been given to serve Hashem. And if we misuse it, So here we are using Hashem's gift to us. This is God's gift to us. And we now blemish it and ruin it by speaking Lashon Hara, using it for the wrong things. That means we now took the special uniform, so to speak, that God has given us, this special gift which represents our service to Hashem, and we've misused it. We've abused it. The same way that an article that's sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, sanctified to God, we can't have our own personal benefit from it. So our power of speech is that the special gift that is sanctified to Hashem, that's been given to us, and we misuse it, we use it for our own personal benefit and abuse it and ruin it, that is tantamount to me'ila behektish. That is tantamount to trespassing on hektish, on personal benefit from hektish. Now, the Chafetz Chaim gives another parable to bring out the power of speech. And, he talks about a person who walks into a big factory. And the factory has a lot of machines going. And as he walks through the factory, he notices that there is one machine that is cordoned off with big signs, no entry allowed.
Don't touch.
Don't touch, no entry allowed. All the other ones don't have what this thing has, but this thing has that whole no entry and that whole gate around it. No one should get near it. So he asks, what's so special about this machine? And they tell him, that's the generator. If something goes wrong with this, everything stops. Yeah. So it has to be the most protected. Says the Chafetz Chaim, our generator is our power of speech. That has the most influence on us and the most power for us. And therefore, you have to protect it. You have to guard it. Because if you ruin it, it affects everything else. Now there is a medrash, famous medrash, about a peddler who came to a town where the sage Rabbi Yonai lived. And he walked into town and he started announcing, who wants a potion of life? Who wants a potion for life? Who wants a sam hachayim? Who wants a potion for life? Ooh, people heard about this announcing a potion of life. Everybody's crowding around, wants to hear what he's got. So the sage Rabbi Yonai heard about this. He was studying Torah, but he heard this whole commotion. And he hears this announcement about a potion for life. So he calls out to the peddler and he says, why don't you come up here? And, I'm interested. Come up here. And the peddler says to him, you don't need it. You don't need it. But he pushed, he insisted, and he came up. He says, no, show it to me. Takes out a Tehillim, a book of Psalms, and he shows them the verse, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim, who is the person who wants life? Oyev yam l'reis tov, loves days to see good, Netzar l'shein chameira, guard your tongue from evil. Usfasach midaber mirma, and your lips from speaking deceit. That's it. Now, we would say that was a very good, publicity stunt. Yeah. Right? Here he was, he wanted to teach him a lesson about Lashon Hara. So he gets up and he does this whole business. Hey, I have a potion of life, and everybody gathers around, everybody's worked up. And what does he do? Here it is. Here it is, people. Are you looking for a potion for life? Here it is. David HaMelech and Talem took care of it. So Rabbi Yonai's reaction wasn't just like, that was good. But he actually said that until now, I did not understand the meaning of this verse. I didn't know what it meant. And the obvious question is, what do you mean you know what it meant? It says what it says. The pasuk says what it says. You want life, guard your tongue. Pasuk says it, right? That seemingly this peddler, he was doing a good, he was doing a good shtick to get people into it and then hit him. But to say, till now you know what the pasuk meant. You know what the pasuk meant. It's very simple what the pasuk means. So I'm going to share with you two explanations to this medrash. One explanation was I saw it brought down from Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer Zatzal. He was a great Rav in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago. And he explained it like this. He explained that we have mentioned before the Gemara, the rule is that reward comes from performing positive commandments. Positive commandments is what we're rewarded for. Positive commandments are what typically affect us. Keeping away from a prohibition is more like staying away from something unhealthy. If you transgress a prohibition, you're going to mess yourself up. But staying away from a transgression on its own doesn't really carry reward. The Gemara says that if you overcame a temptation to transgress a prohibition, then the Gemara says we give you a reward, then you'll get reward for like performing a mitzvah. And Rabbi Zalman Meltzer said that it's true if you fought back a temptation about transgressing a prohibition, that you get reward like doing a mitzvah, it still doesn't mean it's the same thing like doing a mitzvah. Okay? So we have this distinction between doing a mitzvah, fulfilling a positive commandment, and refraining from transgressing a prohibition. And therefore, when it comes to speaking Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara is a prohibition. It's forbidden to speak Lashon Hara. So when you don't speak Lashon Hara, you would assume you're just not hurting yourself. Right? So Rabbi Yannai realized from this peddler that this peddler was more than just trying to be, trying to grab people's attention. But rather, he was actually bringing out a point when he called this a potion of life. A potion of life, when everybody gathered around, meant that this would add life. This would add life. This would be the potion that would give us more years. It was something that was going to add something to us. It was going to add years of life to us. And therefore, says Rabbi Yannai, you know what this peddler was really coming to teach? That not speaking Lashon Hara is different than refraining from other prohibitions. When you don't speak Lashon Hara, it's not just that you're not poisoning yourself, you're actually adding to yourself. You're actually sanctifying yourself. You're actually making your power of speech holier and therefore making yourself into a stronger and holier person. It's not just that I'm not hurting myself or ruining myself when I refrain. I'm holding myself back from ruining myself when I don't speak Lashon Hara. I'm actually adding something to myself. I'm actually adding sanctity to myself when I guard my tongue. That's one explanation. Another explanation I want to share with you is based on what Rabbi Yisachar Friend of Baltimore writes in his Sefer on Chumash. It's not exactly, though, it's not exactly the way I understand it. It's not exactly what he says, but the idea, this is how I would express the idea that he says. So the first thing that I want to bring out is that the story here happens to be he was a peddler, right? It says he was a peddler, okay? How important is it to the story that he was a peddler? Was it just, you know, well, it happened with a peddler, so we say he was a peddler. Now, one aspect of being a peddler was, like, if I were to walk into the middle of, walk into the street and say, I have a potion of life. So a couple of people would probably, you know, gather around and say, you know, sounds interesting. And otherwise they'd say, yeah, it's kind of, it's having a bad day. Okay? But if you're a peddler, which means you're the person who deals in merchandise, right? And as a peddler means you're dealing with merchandise, well, different types of merchandise and objects and things, that this is, you're a salesperson, right? If you say that you have something special, people are going to think about it. Okay? Now, so the person gets everybody's interest piqued, and he says, look, you know, you want life? Don't speak Lashon Hara. The peddler was trying to impress upon the people, not just a lesson per se, but actually, they should be seeing the fact that who is bringing this lesson out? Who's the one who's teaching us this? A peddler is teaching us this. A peddler is teaching us this. Now, if you're a peddler, right? If you're a salesman, you got to talk. You got to talk, right? You got to hawk your wares, right? You got to be able to sell your stuff. You got to be able to fight with the customers who want a better price. You know, you got to be able to haggle, right? You got to be able to haggle. There's a lot of talking that you got to do, right? A quiet salesman doesn't usually get too far, right? There has to be a certain way that you talk to people and you engage people and you talk about your product and you have to schmooze things up with people because you want to get them involved. There's a lot of talking that's got to go on when you're a peddler, okay? And the more talking that you do, the greater the chance is you're going to speak Lashon Hara. That's just a fact, right? Typically, that's a fact. The more talking you do, the more chances you are you're going to speak Lashon Hara. Now, here you've got this peddler, and he's the one who's teaching, and sincerely teaching, no. You got to guard your tongue. But he's a peddler. How can he guard his tongue and talk? The answer is that people think that, and again, you know, talking too much is never good, right? You're supposed to talk when you need to talk, okay? But one might think to avoid Lashon Hara, no talking.
Altogether.
Like really, really minimize your talking. Really minimize your talking. Because the more you talk, the more trouble you're going to have. So you really want to not speak Lashon Hara? You know, you're mute. It's really you. People think that in order to speak, not to speak Lashon Hara, you have to like just be a silent person, never opening your mouth. People say about the Chafetz Chaim. This is a common thing about the Chafetz Chaim himself, the one who wrote the book on the laws of Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim did a lot of talking. He was involved in many things, and he did a lot of talking. But with all the talking that he did, there was no Lashon Hara in his lips. The lesson of the peddler is, and this is what Rabbi Fran says, the lesson of the peddler is that the way to deal with Lashon Hara is not to stop talking altogether. Talk. Say what you need to say. And even if it's a lot, say it. And make sure that you don't speak Lashon Hara. The goal is not to not talk. The goal is that when you talk, to talk properly. And not to talk, not to become a silent person that never talks. You should talk. But you've got to learn to talk and to be careful with what you say. And that's what the peddler was impressing. He's a talker. The peddler's a talker. Right? He's got the gift of gab, or else he's not going to be successful. But he's the one who's telling us to keep not to speak Lashon Hara. That means that we have to be able to talk. We have to be able to talk and say what we have to say, but we have to still have to guard what we say and make sure we don't say the wrong things. To go in and say, "I'm not talking anymore," that's not the solution. And to say that if I have to talk, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep not speak Lashon Hara, is not acceptable either. A person has to understand that it's within their ability, it's their responsibility to talk, but to talk properly and not to speak Lashon Hara. That was the lesson of the peddler.